Today we'll discuss about extreme mass ratio in spirals around horizonless compact objects. So this is work in preparation together with Martin and Paolo. And the motivation for this work is that extreme mass ratio in spirals are probes of the nature of supermassive objects. And black holes are totally absorbing objects through the event horizon. But we can have an object which is as compact as a black hole, but has some reflectivity. And so any evidence or reflectivity would imply a departure from the standard black hole picture in general relativity. And we will see that with LISA, we will be able to probe the reflectivity with unprecedented accuracy. So in this work, we are going to assess how we can probe the reflectivity of central objects in extreme mass ratio in spirals. So in this work, we are analyzing some horizonless objects, which are described by the Kerr metric in the outside. So these objects are horizonless, so they have a radius a bit outside that would be event horizon of a black hole. And this distance is parameterized in terms of epsilon, which is a microscopical quantity. And then the properties of the object are parameterized in terms of a frequency-dependent reflectivity. And in this sense, we can have perfectly reflecting objects or partially absorbing ones. So we need to be careful about these models because spinning horizonless compact objects are unstable above a critical value of the spin due to the ergo region instability. And here I'm showing the critical value of the spin above which there is an instability. And we can see that when the radius of the object is at a microscopical distance with respect to the event horizon, even slowly spinning configurations are unstable. And also the time scales of the instability are short. So we will focus our analysis only on stable models, which are characterized by some partial absorption, or we also analyze a specific model of Boltzmann reflectivity that is stable for every value of the spin. So these horizonless objects are characterized by the existence of a cavity in the effective potential between the radius of the object and their photon sphere. So inside this cavity, there can be trapped modes that will be characterized of being long-lived, so low frequencies. So at variance to the black hole case that is shown here as a black dot, in these systems, we have lower frequencies. And if we analyze a central horizonless object and the motion of a point particle around it, during the orbital evolution, we can excite these low frequency quasi-normal modes and have variations in the orbital motion. So now we analyze in detail this phenomenon. So we study the perturbation of the background with a point particle, which is in circular equatorial orbits. So in the black hole case, as boundary conditions, we would have only purely ingoing perturbation towards the event horizon and a purely outgoing perturbation at infinity. And we can compute the total energy flux as the sum of these two contributions. Whereas in the case of a horizonless central object, we also have an outgoing radiation from the radius of the object. And in this case, also the total energy flux is computed by taking this extra radiation into account. And so what we did was to modify the boundary conditions of a code written by Martin, in order to analyze horizonless central objects. So this is the total energy flux that we get for the 2-2 mode as a function of the orbital angular frequency. And here we are analyzing a point particle starting from 10m and doing the circular orbits until the ISCO frequency. So here we see in black the energy flux in the case in which the central object is a black hole. And we see in blue and red the cases in which the central object is horizonless and perfectly reflecting. So we see that when the orbital frequency resonates with the real part of the quasi-normal modes of the horizonless object, there is an excitation and there are some resonances in the energy flux. Also, the distance between the resonances is given by the compactness of the object. And we can also see that these resonances are very narrow. And there were recent studies about the non-spinning case assessing that they do not influence the motion of particles. But here we will have different conclusions by analyzing these four spinning objects. So the plot shown before was just an example because that object was affected by the ergo-region instability. And now I'm showing you what happens for a stable horizonless object. So here we analyze an object with partial absorption that guarantees for the object to be stable. And we see that the resonances at infinity are very less peaked. But we also see that the system is characterized by resonances for the energy flux at the radius. And this has consequences in the dephasing between waveforms. Here we are computing our estimated energy fluxes, comparing them with previous analyses for these systems, where only a tidal heating contribution was removed from the Kerr energy fluxes. And we can see that previous approaches didn't take into account the resonances excited for the central object. And we will see later how this affects the estimation of the dynamics. So here we computed the gravitational wave dephasing between the case of a horizonless object with respect to the standard black hole case. And so here we are considering a highly spinning central object with a compactness which is of the order 10 to minus 10, so very small. And this is by varying some values of the reflectivity. So we see that when the reflectivity is very large, we have the largest dephasing between the black hole and the horizonless cases. And when the reflectivity decreases, the dephasing is smaller because the limit of reflectivity going to zero reduces to the black hole case. So we see also that from this plot, differences with respect to the previously computed energy fluxes. For example, the dotted curves represent just the when just the tidal heating effect is removed. And we see that there are deviations between our curves and the previously derived ones due to the excitation of the resonances. Indeed, here indicated as a vertical line, we have the excitation of a resonance, which changes the dephasing with respect to the black hole case. And another interesting feature that we observe is that even in the limit of small reflectivity, our results deviate from the previously derived ones. And we can see this by comparing the two blue curves. And this is due to the fact that in the energy fluxes, when the reflectivity is small, the resonances decrease in amplitude, but they are still there with a larger width. And overall, they have an effect of dephasing. In order to assess better the the measurability of these deviations, we compute the mismatch between the horizonless case and the black hole case. So mismatch equal to one means that the two waveforms are different from each other. And we compute this again for several values of the reflectivity. As a rule of thumb, we say that two waveforms are indistinguishable if the mismatch is lower than a threshold value of about 10 to minus 3, depending on the signal-to-noise ratio of LISA for these systems. And from our analysis, we can see that after 1 year of observations, we would put very stringent constraints of the reflectivity of compact objects to be smaller than 10 to the minus 8. So with future observations like LISA, we would be able actually to say something about the reflectivity of compact objects. And here I show you the dephasing and the mismatch for a specific model, which is frequency dependent. And we could take into account this in our boundary conditions. This is a model of Boltzmann reflectivity, which depends on the spin. And we can see how the dephasing with respect to the black hole case will be. So I draw my conclusions. So we analyze the motion of a point particle around a spinning horizonless compact object. And we have seen that the dynamics is affected by the excitation of resonances and a modified tidal heating. And with LISA, we will be able to put stringent constraints on the reflective properties of central supermassive objects. As future work, we would like to generalize these to eccentric and inclined orbits and to perform a more refined Fisher-Matrix analysis. Thank you for your attention.
Thanks, Elisa. That was a very interesting talk. We have a question from Aditya Tamar. Aditya, please. Aditya, you are muted.
Yeah. So could you go to the slide where you impose the boundary conditions on the radial equation? Right. So my question is regarding how did you reach to this radial equation? Because this looks like this looks a lot like the Pukalski radial equation. But I mean, I understand how you impose different boundary conditions, but how did you begin with the Pukalski radial equation and then change the boundary conditions? Or, I mean, how did this all come about? Because the Pukalski equation is restricted to the Kerr case, and you are considering deviations from Kerr-like objects. So how did that come about? Thank you.
So the basic equations are the same because the exterior geometry is Kerr. What changes are the asymptotic amplitudes, because so what we change in the code is assuming that we have also an outgoing amplitude at the radius of the object. So what we change are the asymptotics at the radius of the object. And so this has consequences in also the computation of the total energy flux that does not have only an ingoing asymptotic amplitude at the horizon, but has also an outgoing asymptotic amplitude at the radius of the object.
Right, I see. Thank you.